Welcome back to the new Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Today's show is presented by the Parks Casino Sportsbook app in the App Store or at parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code GREEN. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. This portion of our Parks broadcast today is brought to you by Goldenberg's Peanut Chews, delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts with Trey Thomas, Joe Torti, your 97.5 The Fanatic. Trey, apparently people know on Twitter and on the phone lines, things like that, that you are driving the Jalen Ramsey bandwagon.
Yes.
There's no one bigger than you in this this situation.
Yes, bring him on.
So do you think that it's something that will happen this week?
I hope so.
Well, I know what you hope.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? You know, the NFL is weird. Hope they do, man. I think so. Yeah, you gotta get something going. I mean, you know, especially with the way the season is right now, you don't want to be in a situation just because you don't have the right personnel in there or just because your secondary is depleted for to be in the reason that you lose a game. So why not go ahead and bring someone in like that? Do whatever you got to do to get him in.
So a quick question regarding these trades, because this is something I always think is fascinating. People look at the Minka Fitzpatrick trade, which was one first-round pick, but it looks like it's going to be a really, really good pick because it looks like Pittsburgh's really bad. Is there anything to learn from that trade value when it comes to Jalen Ramsey? Because it is a different situation. He's on a rookie contract versus Jalen Ramsey getting all the money. He's a year away from free agency, whatever. Is there anything that you take from, all right, this was the going rate for a guy like Minka Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, I think that you probably should have. If we could have done that deal, I would have done it. I mean, especially if it, depending on where you are as a team, it's going to be a late round pick anyway.
Right.
So go ahead and
you'd
give that up.
One, yeah. Two almost.
Exactly. So, you know, why not go ahead and make that move, because if your team is stacked and you're doing well, it's going to be a late round pick anyway. So it's pretty much a second round pick for us anyway. You know what I'm saying?
With,
so,
yeah.
You know, what's going to be there?
I thought the same thing. As much as I do like Jalen Ramsey, and I do, Minka Fitzpatrick also made a ton of sense because of the versatility. You don't know who's going to be banged up. And I think personally that Rodney McLeod's been the best defensive player that the Eagles have had so far this season. I hope that changes, because I just don't know if you're winning the Super Bowl if Rodney McLeod is your best defensive player on a team that's got Malcolm Jenkins and Fletcher Cox. Like, I just think you need to have your studs be your studs.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly Minka Fitzpatrick, a guy who has been really good, made an impact in Pittsburgh already. But Jalen Ramsey would certainly be an immediate impact. And I know that some people, like Danny in Burlington, would be very excited to land him as well. Let's talk to Danny next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Danny.
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right.
Hey, I mean, I don't really think there's any question. I mean, if this is the biggest need, and I feel like it's being talked about, but it's not really, people aren't really understanding how important this thing is with our cornerbacks, because you need, first of all, our cornerbacks aren't that good. You need an absolute stud, and I'm willing, considering that our first rounders are going to be low, I'm willing to give up multiple first round draft picks, possibly a player and even a third or something like that. When you're talking about the best corner in the league with how we've been drafting, it's like, why wouldn't you give up whatever you need to do to get this guy on your team right now? Because you're going to be facing these good quarterbacks, these good receivers that just torch the secondary, and it's just a no-brainer. And now it's looking like, you know, not signing Clowney was the right move for something like this, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I just see it making total sense. What do you guys think about that? Multiple first rounders and possibly even more.
Yeah, I'm all right with it. You know, you're bringing in a stud. You're bringing in someone that is going to be in ready to play. He instantly makes your defense better. You know, you've already missed out on the Clowney train. You missed out on the Fitzpatrick.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, Minka Fitzpatrick. So, you know, this is your next chance to go ahead and bring someone in that's going to help stack your defensive secondary. So, hey, let's go ahead and do what we got to do.
Trey, what do you think the chances of us possibly getting him are? Like, I mean, is it like kind of like 50-50? Have you heard anything that they're interested? I mean, I know they're a little bit, at least it seems like it.
I think they are very, extremely interested in him. What team wouldn't? It's just, what do they have to do to get, what are they going to have to give up for him, I think is what's the holdup. And also, too, how much money are they going to have to put into his pockets to bring him in?
Trey, let me ask you this. Would you give up a first rounder and Zach Ertz, or just a Zach Ertz for a Ramsey?
You know what? We were talking about that earlier.
Thanks, Danny.
Do you think the city would? I think the city would go crazy if you let Ertz go.
Do you think so? Even for Jalen Ramsey? Because here's the thing. Sneakily, and I only whisper this.
Sneakily.
I sneakily think that Dallas Goedert can do all the things that Zach Ertz
can absolutely
do.
He's a better run blocker.
He's way better after the catch.
Yeah.
I think he's as reliable despite the drop that he had.
Uh-huh.
I think that if... And here's the big caveat. Here's what I've always said. If they're not going to commit to doing two tight end stuff, which I think they should. I think that 12 personnel is something that makes a lot of sense for this team. But if they don't, if they're determined to use three wide receivers, I think that Goddard can do a lot of the stuff that Ertz can do for a fraction of the price. I really do. So I think that if that's the case and you're trying to solve your salary cap issues by trading for Jalen Ramsey, you're going to create those. Ertz takes care of a lot of that.
Yeah, he does. But, you know how people are.
I do.
With their attachment to the players.
Danny asked if you would do it.
Yeah. Oh, with me? Hey, man. Hey, Ertz.
Whatever it takes.
Hey, listen, we appreciate you.
Thanks for everything.
But you got to go.
Yeah.
It's... My thing is, when you have a fan base that's extremely attached to Ertz and just everything that he's brought to the city with the Super Bowl, look at how they act about Foles. you still have people saying, you know what, let's trade Wentz for Foles, who's out there with a broken collarbone.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They're
literally
still like, hey, man, we still give up Wentz for Foles and bring Foles back. What are you going to do, sit on the bench? You're still going to have Stafford in there. I mean, yeah.
I get Sudfeld.
Sudfeld, my bad.
Whoever.
You don't have Sudfeld and McCown.
McCown, yeah.
Man. Come on.
Now, here's the thing, too, Trey. You always hear this, and I'm sure you've heard this a ton. The GM or coach that listens to the fans will soon sit among them.
Yes, right? They will. that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're Howie, right?
You got to make decisions.
You can understand that. Yeah, I know everybody likes Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
I also know that we're paying a tight end who's not Travis Kelce, $10 million, $12 million over the next couple of years here. And you've got Dallas Goedert on a second year or a second round pick contract. It's pretty good.
Yeah, my only hesitation is where is Dallas with his health right now?
Of course, that's
he's coming off of a calf strain. Where is he health wise? You know, is he going to be able to finish up the season? Is he going to be, because if you mess around and get rid of Ertz and then now, for whatever reason, Dallas comes up with this calf injury again, then now you're stuck.
Right, yeah. Well,
so
that's the truth.
I think that's really what the holdup. Because you only I got to pull up the roster. But I think you only have one other tight end that you had that you brought up. So, you know.
Alex Ellis.
Yeah, Alex Ellis. So, you know, that's a situation where you kind of have to figure out what the situation is there. Where's Dallas with his health? Where is he with his calf injury? If that's all taken care of and you feel, all right, we can go ahead and ride out with the rest of this, I look at making that move.
Well, and to answer why would Jacksonville do that, on top of whatever picks you're getting, the Foles-Ertz connection was also a good connection.
Oh, yeah.
So that's something that makes sense for them, too. Long term, that's a battery that you could build around.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Chris next in Pensacon on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, Chris. Or afternoon
What's
at this
up,
point.
What's up, boys?
Good.
I would definitely do it. I give him two ones in Sidney Jones, and that's a wrap. And I send a jet down there and get them, and I'd be done with this. But what I don't understand, Trey, because you were got drafted there and all, and you seen changes for good and bad and the ugly, and we held it. Sometimes Howie got beat up, sometimes he didn't. But I'm not looking to beat the guy up. When are we going to start holding this guy accountable? Granted, he won the Super Bowl. Between him and Middleton, they could part the Red Sea down the city, and nobody would say nothing to him. I mean, since he's been back, if you look, Trey, because you're good with that computer and you love looking at guys that they drafted, he's addressed the defensive end three times since he's been back. 1, 2, 3. And then you watch Clowney go for a 3 and a 5. I mean, he should be held accountable just for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, then you draft Sidney Jones and you got Kamara sitting right there on the board. And that didn't work out. Besides Carson Wentz, I just don't understand. Don't get me wrong, I love Goddard. Was he really in need, or did we just get him to block Dallas Cowboys from getting him and set our team back? Because now it's 2 years now, and I see upside. But, Trey, you always said, I listen to you guys every morning. It's our time today. I'm not looking for 2 years down the road. I don't even know if we're going to be here 2 years down the road. I'm 52, man. I could grab my chest, phone along, and I'd zip. I want to win now, man.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand where Howie Rosen just... Pepperoni or sausage.
Well, so that's the other thing, Chris, is that, like, the Carson Wentz thing was a trade, pretty much. You pretty much traded for the player.
Mm-hmm. And then the last stud he picked.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that 2012
I'm a
6-1
guy. I mean, I love my daughter. She's Dean's List at Rowan. Guess what? She tried to play an instrument back when she was younger. I said, "Yo, babe, love you. Put it down. You can't play. You just can't do. I love you, but I'm being upfront with you." And I just don't understand him. And Middleton, I love Middleton too. Getting to the Phillies, going to take a shot at him too on the way out on the Sunday after church. How about everybody says, "Oh, he's a great he's a great businessman. He's a great baseball guy." Well, nobody knows if he's a great baseball guy. To me, he looks like he looks like a polished turd as a baseball guy. Just because he's a millionaire and we all love him. I mean, let's start holding people accountable and get back to our Phillies days, Trey. When you were down there in the trenches and you're mauling people and you gave up one sack and we were booing you and you didn't even care because you knew you shouldn't have gave up that sack, man. I'm tired of this.
Hold on, time out, Chris.
I'm going to win.
I don't remember Trey giving up any sacks.
Every now it happens. You know, it happens every now and then, you know, very rarely. Did I get beat?
Like once.
Yeah, maybe like, you know, sometimes the moan set and, you know, it came up on a different side of the...
Oh, it happens.
You know,
yeah.
It happens. You know, yeah. Sometimes
every
grass...
Every 30 years.
Sometimes the grass falls north and south and, you know, I was expecting for it to be east and west.
Yep.
And it messed up my cleats and something happened.
I understand, you know? Yeah.
It happens.
And then there was the ham... Like, after it happened, the hamstring...
No. I never faked the injury when I got beat. Never. I would accept it. Hey, they got me. But it was because of the grass. It wasn't because of skill, you know?
That 2017 draft, I'm sure that you've looked at this, the Derek Barnett, Sidney Jones draft and who they could have had. It is so painful.
I know.
Do you think that there is an accountability problem? Because I don't agree with Chris. I think that Howie Roseman does get heat for not being able to draft effectively.
Yeah, he does get a lot of heat, but you're definitely not going to make a change.
A GM?
You're not going to make a change. It is tough because, I mean, when you look at the draft, it's so... It's hard when you're trying to, because this is how it happens when we're getting ready, when coaches, you get this long list of players and everybody grades these players based off of what you see.
Right.
And then you all report all of this information back to the GM and their scouts and everything else. So a lot of the coaches are involved in this as well. So it's not just on Howie's shoulders. It's off the information that these coaches are giving, are reporting back to them as well and saying, hey, this is how I stack this group. This is who I found was one of the top at their positions or whatever. So it's not just how. You got to look at the coaches as well.
Right.
Because they're the ones that are going through all of this college film and grading these guys and saying, okay, I like these guys. This is where I see them stacked on the list. And, you know, the GM takes it from there. But they're the ones that's also putting this information out and giving it to the GMs as well.
Well, and the other one who always ducks it because he was everyone's favorite in the city, nobody talks about Joe Douglas anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about the Eagles being bad at drafting, that's what Joe Douglas is brought here to do. So, I mean, if you don't like the Dallas Goedert pick, I mean, that feels like Joe Douglas kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like the 2017 draft, that kind of feels like Joe Douglas situation as well. I'm not trying to give Howie Roseman a pass, but to your point, it is a lot of people that get involved in this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It hurts, though. It hurts, though, when Donnell Pumphrey's the move at running back. You know what I mean? And you look at all of the other backs that went there, and regardless of what round you wanted to go in, you could have gone another way, and it would have worked out better than Donnell Pumphrey, right?
Like,
if Sidney Jones doesn't work out, there are corners that you could have in the 2017 draft that look like they're pretty good. Like it's very painful to watch this whole thing play out. And it does lead to Howie Roseman having to use, like, the big black Sharpie of trades to try to fix what's kind of gone wrong here. I applaud the guy for trying to make the moves, but to everybody else's point of view, to draft it right in the first place, then you don't have to make all of those changes.
Well, yeah, that's true. But sometimes, hey, man, like I said, there are a lot of people that are mixed into this equation.
Yes.
It's not just Howie that's sitting in there and evaluating all of this talent. Each coach gets their segment and gets their group of guys, and they all sit in there and they put together a list. They go plus minus on these guys, and they have to do a write-up on each player. They have to watch at least 3 to 4 games on each player as well, and they all put their write-up and they say, okay, they say, all right, which ones do you think were the best at their position, and you have to rate them. And then so you report and you give all of that information back to the scouts and back to Howie and them, and then they all evaluate it as well, and then they make their decisions based off of what everybody feels is a need.
Well, so speaking of how you could miss things, right? It's clear now that Andre Dillard was a guy that they liked for a long time, right?
Uh-huh.
That's a guy that they targeted, that they watched a ton of film on. They said that I think what I heard during the press conference is they watched all of his games. Certainly his junior year games. How do you do that and not see the guy that he's blocking for as being better than Clayton Thorson? You know what I mean? How do you not look at Gardner Minshew and be like, hey, that dude can play a little bit, and have Thorson be the guy that you pick as a developmental quarterback? It doesn't matter in the late rounds to begin with for a lot of people anyway. I get it. But that was one thing that struck me as bizarre, to have that much walking and talking about this guy Dillard, and then to have Gardner Minshew instead be like, nah, we're good on Minshew.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens. You're watching the same stuff.
Yeah, they're watching the same stuff. Gardner Minshew has been impressive.
You're a fan?
Yeah, I like him.
What is it that you like the most about his game?
You know, I like the way he plays the game. He just has that certain energy to him. You know, he reminds me of a modern-day Corey Detmer. Just his energy and just how he carries himself. He's a funny cat, man.
But he is a funny cat.
He plays the game. I like it, you know, and he seems accurate. He makes some big plays out there. I really like how he plays the game.
Did Foles get Foles?
It does seem that way, where Foles is sitting there like, so this is how that feels. To sit on the sideline.
To be the man.
Yeah, to be the man and just watch your backup go out there and win the game and win the crowd over.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
They're all about Gardner Minshew right now.
Oh, they're all about him right now. He's like a superhero.
For good reason. I mean, he's played well. It's not like a cult hero that, like, the backup quarterback's everybody's favorite position, period, across the league, right? Everybody wants their backup. But man, oh man, Gardner Minshew really is doing a job of winning them over. You're right. I don't think that Foles has anything to worry about. It's still a lot of money and everything else. But with his injury history that he's had, people point to Carson Wentz's injury concerns. Carson Wentz has played in 16 games in a season. Nick Foles has never done that. So now you're looking at Foles, who is sitting on the sidelines with this collarbone situation, which is a common injury for quarterbacks being hit the way that they do. Now you wonder, is he going to get his job back long term, or is there going to be a Minshewian society over there in Jacksonville that wants Gardner to be the guy?
Oh, well, he's definitely going to get his job back because he is the guy. But then what happens if he goes out there and has a down game? And, you know, then now everybody will be calling for his head. So, you know, this is just the way this game is. I mean, everybody wants somebody else. And, you know, once you get the hot hand in there and he's making big plays, then it puts a lot of pressure on your starter.
Yeah, it sure does. Well, that's what we pointed to here with Nick Foles being present here. And there were even people that were talking about, like, signing Colin Kaepernick as a backup quarterback. What kind of pressure does that put on Carson Wentz? People said, oh, it doesn't put any pressure. I said, really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I mean, look at how McCown came in and when he made a couple plays in the game. How
Wentz
much pressure?
Wait for the drive. He was like, I'm done. I'm good. Let's go.
You know, and how much pressure that was put on him just because of how McCown ran the offense and just, you know, the different energy that happened. I mean, you know, people look for that spark, and they want to go with the hot hand, and then, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's the case. Now, how do you, if you're coaching, Trey, how do you evaluate that? How do you evaluate, hey, the team just seems to play better when this person's in there versus this guy's better than that guy? You know what I mean? Like, how do you really judge that? I feel like that's a tough balancing act to figure out.
Well, you know what? When there's an injury, you can see how players kind of elevate their game because they feel like, you know what, we have to take it upon ourselves to play better. Everybody gets a little sharper when there's an injury, you know, because you just got to get your main guy hurt. So, right. You know, we got to tighten up. We got to, you know. So guys start to play a little bit above themselves when there's an injury. But you know that at the end of the day, Wentz is your guy. You know, he's going to be your starter, you know, but now, in that one particular play when McCown came in and he was driving through the half, I would have left him in the game.
Yeah, me too.
For that particular drive. Let him finish the drive because it seemed like it was working.
And also, if you're Wentz, I also get it. Yeah. You're like, hell no. Like, absolutely not.
You know what I mean? But Wentz, you know, quarterback, hey, we're not going to let this happen again. I need to get back in the game.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
Wentz.
So, I get it.
But I would have absolutely left McCown. That thing was working just fine.
Yeah, but the problem is with Doug tell Wentz, hey, man, you know what? I get it, but things are working right now. You're going to go back in at halftime. You know, after half, you come back out, you're
make
the
sure
starter.
You're good. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, hey, you got to make sure you.
That's a tough balance to have to strike, man.
Exactly.
That's really tough. Although, the other thing is, I don't know where you come down on this. I'm kind of old school in that I don't think that people should lose their jobs due to injury.
Yeah.
Like the whole Joe Flacco thing in Baltimore rubbed me the wrong way because Troy Smith was playing fine and then he had the sickness and didn't get the chance to come back even when he was healthy and get his job back. So I don't know what role that would play in things in either Jacksonville or in Philadelphia, because you don't necessarily want to see guys lose their jobs due to injury, but you do have to give your team the best chance to win. And that's another balancing act that you've got to work. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Let's get to one more call before we hit the breather. Ted in Germantown is next on the Fanatic. Hey, Ted.
Hey, good morning. Well, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I'm a little bit hesitant to, like, try to pull the trigger on this trade for a guy that's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I'm getting flashbacks of Nambi when everybody lost their mind about this lockdown corner. He gets here and does diddly squat. So we really ransom off our future. Everybody's talking 2 first-round draft picks for this guy. He might be worth it, but isn't he a free agent after the year?
But I don't think you make the deal without saying that you're going to sign him. So you're not going to trade for him and not sign him to a new contract. So I think the whole new contract thing is built into the trade. And also, too, when you compare him to Nandi, like, how much did we see of Nandi before he was brought here?
Right.
You know, you see Ramsey's body of work a little bit more than what you saw of Nandi before he got here.
Right. Well, Howie has been really good at this type of thing, mid-season things, early season things. He brought the running backs in last year, brought the receiver in. That didn't really work out. But in the Super Bowl year, he was Bengali. So I'm just saying everybody needs to take a deep breath and relax and let him do what he's good at doing. And if he doesn't feel that this is right, I don't think the reason he didn't go after the pass rusher dude was because he didn't think it was going to be a good fit all the way around. Just relax. It's going to be all right. Just don't pull the trigger and mortgage off our future, 2 first-round draft picks and the kitchen sink, and then this guy doesn't want to re-sign with us. You feel me?
Yeah.
Ted, thanks, man.
He hears you,
but he doesn't feel you,
yeah,
I don't think.
Yeah, I think that when you bring Ramsey in, Ramsey's going to whatever team that wants to sign him. I think that he wants, at the end of the day, Ramsey wants to get paid. So it's not a situation where he has a certain team or something that he wants to go to. I think that the ultimate goal for him is to get a new contract and get paid. So, you know, I think that that has to be built into the trade for him.
610-632-0975. Trey Thomas, Joe Torti. We are broadcasting from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We'll be right back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the new Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Today's show is presented by Parks Casino's Sportsbook app in the App Store or at parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code GREEN. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Donovan McNabb joins Farzetta and Trey in the morning every Monday at 9:30. You know number five's rhythms and the way that he thinks and things like that.
Yeah.
What's he going to think about the game?
I think he's that it was a good win. You know, he's been extremely supportive of Wentz and not just saying that, you know, that his timing is going to come and that the offense just needs to continue to work this thing out, because a lot of the guys did not take on preseason the way they usually do. So maybe this is a game where everything starts to come together, you know, because really this is after you've played 3 preseason games now, you know, with this being the 4th game. This is kind of like you've gone through your 3 preseason games during the season, and now your 4th game is where everything starts clicking, your conditioning is a little bit better, and now you go ahead and run through it.
So do you anticipate, by the way, Trey, and I think yes, do you think that this is going to be the way that the Eagles approach preseason moving forward? No Carson Wentz. And no, like, big-time key pieces, and just deal with the sloppiness of September sometimes in order to get your team healthy.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the way that you want to do it, because look at the punishment that Carson Wentz took on these first 3 games. I mean, you know, you know, you go back and you look at how many hits he took, how many sacks he took in these first three games. I mean, that was you don't want to keep putting him in that situation. So do you, if you're not going to play him, do you play everyone else a little bit more? You know, because even look at how Aaron Rodgers came out against Chicago. You know, that was a sloppy game. Yes. You know, it was nothing what you were used to seeing. So, you know, I don't know. I would like to see guys play a little bit more in the preseason just because I think it helps with the timing and conditioning to kind of get you ready for what you're about to get into as far as going through the season. So, I'm one that's, you know, I'm still a little old school when it comes to that.
610-632-0975. Let's go to Chad in South Philly next on The Fanatic. What's up, Chad?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
I just wanted to call in and say that these guys that are saying we should trade Ertz for Ramsey, just relax. We have two tight ends that could be a Gronkowski-Hernandez situation and be good for a long time. These guys are young, they're great, and they're going to get better. And we won the Super Bowl with a less-than-ideal secondary by scoring 41 points. Let's score 45, 50 points in the Super Bowl this year and win.
Okay.
Well, the question becomes, do you want to have to score 40-plus points to be in games?
I would say no.
Yeah, I don't want to be in that situation.
I mean, I understand that, but at the same time, you got two guys at tight end that are almost impossible to guard one-on-one. You put them on the field at the same time, Goddard can block really well, you get the running game going, it's going to be really, really hard to stop. And you take Ertz away, you take a lot of that threat away, and you take a lot of that over-the-top threat away, you know, I just don't think it's a good idea.
Ertz is an over-the-top threat?
Well, Ertz is over the middle, and DeSean Jackson over the top. I mean, you take that middle threat away, then it's going to be tough.
Well, look, Chad, I do like Zach Ertz, too. Thanks for the phone call, man.
I like him. I do like him.
I brought Trey around, though. I sold Trey. Trey was, like, not about it, but now that we've talked it through, I sold him on it. Dallas Goedert is Ertz for cheap.
Yeah, he is. Younger. And he runs block a lot better.
Yeah.
You know,
I like having two. Don't give me.
I do like having two.
But if you want something, you.
But if I have to give one up to get a shutdown corner, I make that decision. I make that decision without any hesitation.
Got to do it.
Yeah. But I like him. I don't want to get anything. I don't want him to get it twisted. I do like Ertz back there. I think he's a great player. He brings a lot to the game. Not a lot of yak, but you know he is someone that when Wentz is in trouble, he will look for him. But I think he'll get used to finding balance as well.
Yes, I think so too. And that's my point. It's not that you're trying to kick him out of town.
No, not at all.
But I mean, you know, to listen to the caller say, let's just score 40 or 45 points or 50 points to win the Super Bowl. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I don't want to have to do that.
I don't want to have to do that, no.
Let's go to Provolone Joe next in Jersey on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Provolone Joe?
Yeah, so what's going on, boys? Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Trey, I had a question for you. First of all, tight ends, how many tight ends are taken in the first round? How many corners taken in the first round? Enough said. So that pretty much answers that debate. So the second thing I want to talk about is Sproles. In game one, you know, he had a lot of touches. Then he disappears, and we were all worried about him being overused. Then he kind of disappears game two and three. He got little sprinkles in there last game. But, like, what's going on with him? Is there work? Like, did he get banged up game one or did something happen? Like, there was nothing about him, but he just, like, was taken out of the game plan for three games now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he only had one carry against Green Bay. I'm not sure what he had against Detroit because I don't have a thing for. But, I mean, you can see, like, you know, I mean, your main guys are going to be Jordan and Sanders. So, you know, they're the ones that you're going to lean on more. But I do think that Sproles does create some mismatches at times when you can use him in the pass game and also, too, can be a different spark when it comes to running the ball. But for why his production has declined a little bit, I do not know.
Yeah, you know, Trey, it struck me as odd because he was never banned to report or anything, but it's just like he fell off the map. Now, I'm glad to see the committee's doing good, and I like Howard and Sanders doing it, but, you know, Sproles, I got a soft spot for him. I want to see him I'd like to see him get about six touches a game, maybe eight touches a game. You know, that would make me real happy because I think he does throw that other element in there that catches guys off guard a little bit, and he's a slippery player, let's face it. I mean, in the past game, out of the backfield and block, his blocking protection's good. And, you know, he's a decent guy. So I'd like to see him get about 6-8 touches a game. I'm wondering how you felt about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with getting Sproles. He's someone that you can depend on, a veteran that's in the backfield, you know, someone that you can trust. But I think right now they're putting all their eggs in the Jordan and Sanders basket and just going ride with them.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with you and Provolone, Joe, actually. I said before the season that there wasn't a reason to have Sproles on the team, considering how many backs that you had, considering his injury history, considering his age. So I understand that there are individual mismatches that he can take advantage of over a certain number of plays for the season, but is that worth one of the spots on your 53? Like, that's where I was torn up, and it was a tough decision because I like Sproles too, but I thought, yeah, probably not if it means losing a pass rusher or an extra offensive lineman or whatever. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the team disagrees. They held on to Sproles. You haven't seen Corey Clement at all. I think that Corey Clement's a guy who could do an impression on the third down stuff, pass catching back, that kind of thing. That hasn't happened either. So it's clear that, you know, I've talked about Darren Sproles as being number one. Trey, you and I rarely cross paths on the air, so forgive me as I lay out the Doug Peterson all-man crush team. Carson Wentz is only third on the Doug Peterson all-man crush team for people that can do whatever they want to do. Number two is Jason Peters, and number one absolutely is Darren Sproles.
Absolutely.
All-man crush
team. Yeah. You know, they love their players. The guys that they really love, they're going to bring them back no matter what.
No matter what.
He's like Big Red had those type of guys,
of course,
too. He was, what's my man? You know what? I got to look him up.
You got to look him up.
Timmy, our secondary, one of the safeties coaches. Tim, he was Jim Johnson's man crush guy. You would always bring Timmy back, no matter what. And he would come in right after training camp. Timmy coming on in. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I get it. You got some of those guys. And also, too, he's only a couple yards from being fifth on the all-time yards.
All-purpose
yards. So
you want to get it for him.
You want to get it for him, bring him in, get it for him. This is probably going to be his last year. I get it. Now, one thing I say about Jason Peters this past game, you start seeing flashes of the old Jason Peters coming back.
And didn't miss any time.
Yeah, didn't miss any time, played the entire game, was a force when it came to run blocking, was a force when it came to pass protection, was able to sit down on some of the bull rush stuff, used his hands really well. His balance was there. You didn't see him diving at the guys or whatever. You just started seeing some of the old Jason Peters guy that we used to seeing come back in this particular game.
Do I have the man crush order right?
That's pretty good.
That's what it is.
That's pretty solid.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Chris, I want to give you your full time on the other side of the breather here. It's Trey Thomas, Joe Torti, and people are now lining up at the Parks Casino Sportsbook. It is the place to be to watch these games. Things are about to get underway here in a matter of moments, like 20 minutes or so. We'll be underway pretty much across the league. And plenty of action here. I haven't even asked Trey about any of his picks. Do you give out your picks, or are those just for you?
I
have no
problem giving out my picks. I already put my bets in.
All right.
I already have my 1 o'clock bets in. You know, I use the app. So, I already got my bets in.
All right, cool. So we'll make sure to let the people know which way that they should be going when we return.
I don't know about that now. hey, make your own decisions.
Yeah, we can't advise.
I don't want everybody coming to me like, Trey, you led me down the wrong road. Hey, you know. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
That's absolutely right. Well said. Trey Thomas, Joe Torti, broadcasting live from Barks Casino. Final segment coming your way next on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! Welcome back to the new Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Today's show is presented by the Parks Casino Sportsbook app in the App Store or at parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code GREEN. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. With Trey Thomas, Joe Torti here with you, broadcasting live from the Sportsbook, a beautiful, beautiful, big screen laden Sportsbook. People lining up to get their bets in before the 1 o'clock games begin. Trey, what's the best bet on the board, in your opinion? The one that you feel strongest about.
Best bet on the board? I don't know about all that.
One you like the most?
I don't know.
You don't like them? You don't like any of them?
I like all of them. Like all my bets. Patriots against Buffalo.
That's mine. Yeah. That's definitely. People are very concerned about Buffalo keeping this game close. I'm not.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that. Kansas City, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those are my two that I feel great about.
Uh-huh.
So there you go.
So are we going down our list? That's what we're doing? What do you want to do?
Well, so let's give. Yeah, let's go down the list real quick. So you got the Tennessee, Atlanta.
I got Atlanta.
Got Atlanta, yeah. -3.5. Baltimore, yeah. Cleveland.
I got it, Baltimore.
Okay,
yeah.
-7.
I got New England.
Patriots,
yeah.
Chiefs.
Kansas City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Panthers, Texans.
I got Houston. I like Houston against Carolina.
Okay, so all favorites so far.
Uh-huh.
Oakland, Indy.
Oakland, Indy. Yeah, I'm going Colts on this one.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Chargers, so like Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Yeah, I, you know what? I got Dolphins on this just because
14 points.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins Chargers don't cover.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, I got the Giants.
Then the Giants. All right.
Yeah, I think the Giants go ahead and get Washington.
So there's the 1 o'clock. You want to keep going?
No, good. Okay. All
right,
I think we just take care of the 1 o'clock.
We'll just take care of the 1 o'clock.
Everybody else figure it out for themselves for the 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. We'll have everybody else hit. Like you said, if you don't win the bets based on what Trey says, make sure to hit him up on Twitter and let him know specifically.
Don't call me whining.
That it was
make
his fault.
Better decisions. Not my fault.
You have personal agency, man. Nobody made you do this. Come on, man. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown next on the Fanatic. Hey, Chris.
Hey, man, your finger, as far as I'm concerned, you have to make the bet, so you're just, that's on you, man.
That's exactly it.
Exactly.
We're just talking, man.
I'm just throwing out stuff. Who knows? I already made
just
mine.
Opinions,
I'm only responsible
man.
For mine.
Just opinions, yeah, I get it. So, beautiful day, Joe and Trey, but, you know, without our Eagles, man, it's going to be a long week. But that's why I love other sports, having them during the week. That's just my bang, I digress. So, Joe, me and you were talking last night with D, and we'll, we could bring this up for Trey about, you know, back before the season, Steve brought up an article where she was talking about the Eagles offensive line being ranked number one among any team. And, you know, I heavily disagree with her. We brought it up last night. Trey, last game we saw the real Jason Peters, like you were saying, and whereas the first 2 weeks, man, you said it, we were getting Carson killed at times. And it almost made a lot of us fans flash back to Tennessee last year because we knew that was offensive line problems. You know, I know we got Dillard. I know we got Lane. But, you know, could this be a year coming up where you're looking to draft heavy offensive linemen and not care what people think because you're trying to prepare for the next 10 years of Carson's career and help ensure he's got young, fresh bodies that you don't have to worry on game by game like Jason moving forward?
Yeah, you're going to still bring in some offensive linemen, but if you're giving away those first-round picks anyway for to bring Ramsey in, then, you know, you're going to be trying to find some guys in that second and third round. They bring in guys every year. The problem is, okay, what position are you going to try to go after? Do you try to bring in another center? Because I think Isaac is your backup center if anything goes down with Kelsey. So are you going to try to look for another center, maybe another guard? Because Dillard's going to be your tackle. And then, if you continue to roll with Vitae, he's going to be your swing guy anyway. If Dillard is your man, you know Lane isn't going anywhere. So you're going to be looking at that center guard position. It's be interesting to see how Matt Pryor continues to develop.
Yeah,
and also
I wouldn't
Jordan
mind
Mailata. What's going on with him? You know, is he going to be the? Because it's 2 years now that he's been on IR.
Hand him the football.
Hand him the football.
Guys, I just don't want my Eagles turning into the Phillies, where you got a bunch of injuries and you just never find a way to come back from that. Like we saw how that played out. It's just I don't want to see my guys keep going down. Like we saw the injuries, and then we still don't have Deshaun back. Like.
Chris, I'm worried about that this year. You're right about that. Thanks for the phone call, man. Yeah, Deshaun Jackson, Tim Jernigan, 6 to 8 weeks. And I heard that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
we'll see about that. Tim Jernigan, 6 to 8 weeks. Okay, we'll see. Just because injuries are never what they are with this team, right? Darren Sproles was week to week all season last year. Mm-hmm. Jalen Mills has the foot injury from hell that we have no idea what it is, and he's still not available, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, it is a concern. But the problem is, and I think this is what you were digging at, is that you can't plug every hole at once, right? Like, if you need Jalen Ramsey and it's going to cost you first-round picks, I know that you'd like to just be able to stack up offensive linemen, but centers are going more in the first round than they ever have before. Teams are open to drafting guards in the first round more now than they ever have been before.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. It's hard to rebuild an offensive line now.
Exactly. You know, sometimes you need the guys that you have drafted to go ahead and let's start developing. You need to be, you know, it's going to be on coaching to make sure that you develop those guys and get them up to speed.
I'm not going to get you on board with the Jordan Mailata carrying the football thing, huh?
No.
Man.
Why?
Well, the rugby guy, you know?
Okay, yeah.
But he
has never felt the... okay. All right, yeah. You get one of those safeties coming downhill and to show you about this game, you know? This is a totally different... And, you're 6'8". What do you think they're going to take out first? Those knees.
Yeah, you're a big target, too. Hard to miss you.
Yeah.
I wanted to give you this from Pierce Morgan, too, because I thought of you, and I thought that I wanted to ask you about this when I saw what he said earlier, talking about rugby. He's talking about how the English rugby team was crushing the United States rugby team. He said, just showing further that, you know, you're looking at if England were to send their best players to play football, pretty much is the method, that they'd start beating up on the United States. I had to know what you thought about
it. To say what now?
So here we go. He says, England annihilating the USA proves my long-held theory. Take all the helmets and pads away, and international rugby players beat NFL players at either sport every time, which is to say...
If you take the pads away?
Well, that's what he said. All the helmets and pads away, international rugby players beat NFL players at either sport every time. So to say that you take the pads away and they're going to come and beat you and play in football.
Okay, well, how many rugby players have been successful in the NFL?
Zero?
Yeah. All right.
Right?
That sounds cool. Yeah, all right.
Pierce, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I respect the rugby game. It's a totally
it's a great game, but it's different.
Awesome. But, you know, this is something different, man. You know, you always try to bring a guy in, and we've had several. Jordan's not the first rugby player that we brought in to be an offensive lineman. You had a guy a couple years back when Chip Kelly was here that was a rugby guy, and he got ran through several times to the point where he was probably one of the first guys where I was like, you know what? Yeah, this might not be the game for you, man. You know, you might want to go back to rugby. Well, and I cannot remember his name. He was from somewhere else. I don't know. But.
I was being kind of facetious, but I've never understood why, if you're going to try to make a transition, how about somebody who carries the ball? How about somebody who's used to running with the ball a little bit?
Yeah. Like,
if you're going to try it.
You bring in a traditional running back, someone that could possibly, I could see that possibly being a successful transition. But when you're bringing guys in, you're saying, all right, you know what? We want you to learn how to play offensive line. That's a totally different game. I mean, look at how long it's been taking Jordan to get on the field.
Well, just look at it from your perspective, right? Like, you spent your entire life learning how to play from a technical standpoint. Mm-hmm. The idea that you're going to bring somebody in and be like, all right, we'll teach him in 10 months how to play left tackle.
Yeah, he'd be okay. Just go ahead, put him out there. He has the size. He has the tools. Now, when you look at Jordan.
He does have the size and tools.
He has the size and tools. I mean, he's huge. I mean, but this is offensive line. It's not about, you know, everybody always like, oh, that's a big kid. He should play offensive line. Being big doesn't necessarily make you good.
No.
You have to be able to move. Offensive line is an extremely technical position. It's not something, we're not just out there just pushing guys around. It's not a wrestling match. It's hand placement. It's counting steps. It's making sure that your inside foot is a certain type of way. There's a lot that's happening. I'm glad, you know what? I am glad that we make it look that easy.
And that's take it as a compliment. That's exactly it.
That's the way I have to take it.
Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted in, our co-hosts for this evening, or this afternoon, I guess I should say. Thank you very much, everybody from the Fanatic promo team and obviously engineering crew, including Mike Von Floto, for making this broadcast possible. Trey, this is fun, man.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm sad that
first time working with you, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, you work in the morning. I work late night.
Yeah.
We're the two that are never going to ever meet, but I'm glad that we got this chance. Hopefully we get to do it again soon. Enjoy the football. We'll talk to you next time. Joe Torty, Trey Thomas, 97.5 Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.